Cat Mayo Hour.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Hour UFC Brasilia DraftKings picks and preview. And for people that don't know, Brasilia is the capital of Brazil. It's an administrative capital, just like in South Africa. Bit of geography lesson for you. Cody Saftick. Run out of breath. Here to break it down. Let's get into this, because this is a quick one.
I know, and you keep telling me I got to keep it to 10 minutes, so I'm just going to jump
cash
in.
Cash game lineup, let's hear it.
Yeah, cash game lineup, Thiago Santos, $11,400. Pat, there's a number of very good players in this pool here. You can take a girl like Cyborg, who's far too expensive. You can go with someone like Roy Nelson, who's extremely expensive. You can go with someone like Henan Barão, who's extremely expensive. You can't fit them all, right? So who's that cornerstone piece that should not have any trouble, who should go and get that first round finish? Absolutely, I like Thiago Santos. Even if the fight doesn't finish in the first round, I would find it shocking to believe that he didn't finish in the second round. If you look at his opponent, Eric Spicely, tough guy, definitely, you know, shouldn't be overlooked. But in this spot, this is a terrible matchup for him. He's 0-1 in the UFC. He got finished in the very first round of his last fight. He was contesting on The Ultimate Fighter. He got finished in the first round of the fight on The Ultimate Fighter. You can finish this guy in the first round. I think Thiago Santos matches up perfectly with him, and that's going to save me a little bit of money. Vicente Luque, $10,800. I think he's extremely safe. He's a guy that, with a good submission game, with a good striking pedigree, he's very well-rounded. He's only 24 years old. He's getting better every single time. And I think this is definitely a winnable spot for him where he should be able to go in. Do I like the first round finish? Maybe not the first round finish, but I do see this guy finishing between the first and second round. This is a cash game play, so it's not like I need that finish, but I think Vicente Luque is going to go out. He's going to perform to his expectations, and the guy has high expectations. So give me Vicente Luque, $10,800. Gilbert Burns.
Mr. Burns.
Gilbert Dorinho Burns. If the fight hits the ground, he is absolutely going to put you away. If the fight stays standing, he's always improving on his striking pedigree, right? I mean, the guy trains at the Black Zillions gym, and he's also Vitor Belfort's jiu-jitsu coach. So he spends a lot of time with Vitor Belfort at the RVCA gym. He spends a lot of time with Henry Hoof and Evan Boris when he's at the Black Zillions camp. His striking is getting better. And we've seen with fights with Lucas Sujewski, he gets hit early in the fight and it hurts him. But he's able to rebound from that, doesn't panic, stays calm. He's able to hurt Sujewski, eventually gets Sujewski down to the ground. And once Sujewski is on the ground, Burns does what he does best, and that's completely ice guys almost effortlessly with his submission game. This guy's a world champion in no-gi jiu-jitsu. I can't say enough good things about him. Thing is, sometimes he makes a little bit of tactical errors, and he is growing, so I think he's a better cash game play. Then we got UCR Formiga, $9,200. Justin Ortiz, his opponent, is very crafty. He's very durable. I like Formiga a lot, but I do not see Formiga getting the finish here. So I think it's a good cash game play. Formiga's got better grappler, Novo Union black belt under Andre Pantanteras. He's going to go out and he's going to get into a good grappling exchange with Justin Ortiz. Unfortunately, Justin Ortiz allows too many holes when he is grappling. That's going to allow Formiga to take his back, sink in a hook, take his back. And then I don't think he chokes him out, but I think he just rides him. I think he gets the 29-28 or the 30-27. This fight is in Brazil. He is the favorite, and he should be able to just cruise to a decision, so to speak.
So why do you have Alan Patrick at $8,300 on your cash game team? It doesn't seem like he's a big favorite here. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, but when you look at the actual line on it, right? Alan Patrick and his opponent, it's not exactly the craziest line in the world here, right? And with Alan Patrick, he's taking on Stevie Ray. And I love me some Stevie Ray.
Like Stevie Ray from Harlem Heat?
I made that joke the other day and nobody got it.
How does no one get that?
I guess they weren't Nitro fans.
It's Booker T's loser older brother.
So this is the biggest thing where I like Alan Patrick here. First of all, the price tag, $8,300. I like that, right? Second of all, Stevie Ray's a guy that is 3-0 in the UFC. He goes out there. He's got a lot of power. He's knocked out his first two opponents. Coming into his last fight is kind of like his first mild step up in competition, and he wins the fight. He goes there and he beats Michael Abu, but it wasn't like it was a wow performance. It really showed that if he's not just blitzing through somebody, then they're going to give him some resistance that, you know, maybe he's susceptible a little bit. Now, Pat, this guy's got 5 losses in his pro career, right? He has been choked out or submitted 4 times in those 5 losses. The other loss is the decision loss. So you don't knock the guy out. If you want to stand and trade with this guy, you're not likely going to put him down. He's a very adequate striker. But on the ground is his biggest weakness. And with Alan Patrick is a good black belt on the ground. And we've seen in his last fight against Damian Brown, he don't mind using that athleticism to power you to the ground. Once he gets you on the ground, he just smothers you. He's not necessarily looking for the finish, but he can finish, but he's just looking to positionally dominate you. Now, Brown is a lot better on the ground than Stevie Ray is, I think. At least technical jiu-jitsu-wise, I think he's a little bit better. And he wasn't short notice, but he just basically got flat. Then you look at a couple fights ago, Alan Patrick fought a teammate of Stevie Ray, John McDessie. Now, John McDessie is almost matches up similar to the way Stevie Ray does. He's a better striker than him. He's a little faster. He's a little more, seems to be a little quicker all around. John McDessie's the better fighter. What does Alan Patrick do? He flips the script on him. He just keeps powering him with takedowns, powering him with takedowns. Even when McDessie gets back up, he just holds him up against the cage. That's a good way to win rounds. And especially when this guy's been choked out four times and you're the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, if he can get this fight onto the ground, which is what he wants to do, and put it into a compromising position, he can absolutely get the finish. But I think more than anything, he seems like not a completely safe pick, but for $8,300, I am more than willing to play that.
Okay, so I guess the one thing that I did want to mention to you is you mentioned that if you take Cyborg on your team at $13,000 and take Landsberg on your team, who you expect to get 0 points.
No, this is the question. If you take Landsberg on your team, okay, and Landsberg is going to score zero points, okay? But I'm not taking Cyborg. I'm taking—
Why wouldn't you?
Because I would take Thiago Santos. I would take Roy Nelson. I would take— There are some bangers on this card.
Santos, Nelson.
Okay, I would take Santos. I would take Nelson. I would take probably Henan Barão, and I would take Godofredo Pepe.
How much is Barão?
Barão is $11,300. Oh. Santos is $11,400.
You can't afford all those people.
Okay, well, I would definitely drop Barão off that list.
Oh, and wait, maybe you can. I took off the wrong person. Landsberg. Let's put
Landsberg. She's $6,400.
You still can't afford those three. You're over by $1,100.
Okay, so let me ask you this. If I took Roy, yeah. I took Thiago Santos.
Yeah.
I took Godofredo Pepe at 10-5.
Yeah.
And I took Vicente Luque at 10-8. I'm still over?
Yeah.
Okay. So it'd be hard to craft all the guys that you want.
Could you drop? Is there anyone in the $9,000 range that you like?
In the $9,000 range?
That you think
range
would be a safe cash game play, even if it's by decision?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yusir Formiga, $9,200. That's a cash game.
Okay. So Formiga at 92. If you wanted to do it that way, you could take Pepe out and you could go back up to Barão. So you could make a team of Roy Nelson, Santos, Barão, Formiga, and Landsberg if you wanted to. Now, throwing the zero out for Landsberg.
If you can get four finishes.
If you get four finishes, you're going to win cash games.
Yeah, a cash game. You cannot win a GPP scoring a zero. You can't.
No.
You really can't. I mean, you'd have to have a perfect night, and everybody else would have to just have the worst night of all times. But yeah, in a cash game play, I was thinking about that. If Landsberg goes down and she scores 5 points, right?
She probably won't even score that, will she?
But your other— – yeah, of course. Well, I think so. Yeah, 5 points. Listen, she's a former Muay Thai champion, Pat, so she's not like a fish out of water.
So here's the thing. Yeah. You're expecting— – is with the way that you've constructed this lineup with the four favorites and Landsberg on your team— – you're kind of conceding that you're going to expect a zero from there. Is there a chance she lasts a round?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's a chance that she wins the fight. The chance is just so minuscule. But let me ask you this. Let's take it into your wheelhouse. I know we're probably going to tab it long.
It's okay.
But let's say who's the best quarterback in the NFL?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so let's say I tell Aaron Rodgers.
People are going to be so upset about that.
Let's say Aaron Rodgers is taking on a terrible team, right?
Yeah.
They've got bad defense. Their quarterback's no hell. He's not likely to get sacked or anything like that. But you tell Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, here's the only stipulation here. I mean, you're way better than this team. The Packers are going to run show on them. The only one thing is we need you to cut 30 pounds in the next 2 days, right? Maybe he can do it. But there's no denying his performance is going to suffer in some small way.
So is this—
there's no denying.
Is this what Cyborg's doing, cutting 30 pounds?
Yeah, and she was almost dead on the scale, Pat. She started taking birth control to avoid her period so that she wouldn't balloon up, because apparently it's hard to cut weight while you're on your period. So she's doing birth control just to have like some type of competitive advantage. She's gigantic.
Is that a PED?
Technically, the thing that's in it is not a PED.
But the way that you're using it for technically is a PED.
USADA doesn't use it because athletes are on birth control, so they can't. They can't ban it, or else they'd have so many people red flag. So they've allowed, okay, you know, and it's something like it acts as like a potassium diuretic, so it's helping her cut the weight. Unfortunately, she was saying, well, it's not helping. It's putting weight on. So her nutritionist is like, it's not, I can assure you. And she's blaming it on that. So she's like 30 pounds a couple days out, like she's got to cut 30 pounds still, and she's blaming it on these pills. But what I'm thinking here, Pat, is that her strength and conditioning coach, George Lockhart, who's the best, told her, take these pills and it'll help you lose weight. It'll make the weight cut easier. So she probably eats it, takes the pills, and then goes, hey, Cyborg, can you go for dinner tonight? Yeah, you know what? I can, because I'm on these pills that are making me lose weight. I don't think she put in the proper prep work. But thing is, she's going to kill Landsberg regardless. She goes out.
Even
if
Landsberg can score 10 points. I feel like it might be worth it.
What if this girl goes and she starts beating the crap out of Landsberg? And Landsberg, who's undefeated in MMA, just takes the shots, stays the course for the first 5 minutes, okay? I'm telling you, her body, her kidneys, it's going to start to shut down at some point, right? And this is a 5-round fight. The thing is, it's not going to go five rounds.
Okay, let me ask you. Give me a percentage chance that Cyborg finishes in the first round. 90%? For a price, it would have to be that or higher.
95%.
5?
92%.
92%. So you're taking an 8% chance, but even if you get a zero from that spot, having Nelson, Santos, Barão, and Formiga, and you feel good about the three knockouts at the top and Formiga getting a decision?
Yeah, I do.
Well,
I do.
Then you're looking at 375 points you've won in a cash game.
Yeah,
do you like that more than the cash game that you gave us?
No. I'll tell you why. Because I'm an optimist. And in my head, Thiago Santos is going to get a first-round finish. And Vicente Luque is going to get a second-round finish. And yeah, you know what? Maybe you're right. Because Burns, Formiga, and Alan Patrick, I like them. And they're cash game plays because I think that they're relatively safe. But they're not likely to go out and get some massive finish, which I'm not banking on in a cash game situation. But if you want to play it that way and you just want to take the cheapest player and go for it, then yeah, absolutely.
I think I'm going to try that.
By all means.
I guess that's the route I'm going to go. The punt play and four knockouts or three knockouts and a decision.
Listen, crazier things have happened. And Landsberg has one saving grace here, and that's hopefully this machine, this well-oiled machine, didn't put as much oil in it because it was trying to cut weight, and hopefully it breaks down halfway because it's going to be a really short night and a rough night otherwise.
Your GPP team has Santos and Patrick as the bookends at 11-4 and 8,300. Tell us about the three guys in the middle. Like, Pepe!
Gotta go for them finishes. We like Gotofredo Pepe. I honestly really like him. And if it wasn't for the fact that he just goes out and goes berserk, I'd put him on my cash game team. It's just, you can't
fight
like
that. He's not the safest guy in the world?
Exactly. But against Mike De La Torre, Mike De La Torre can get knocked out. He can be submitted. In fact, he's already lost UFC fights by both knockout and submission. The time he got knocked out in 21 seconds. The time he got submitted in like a minute and a half. Gotofredo Pepe is a black belt. He's a much better black belt. He's got a much better chin. He's got much better Muay Thai skills. Thing is, Gotofredo Pepe fought 8 weeks ago when we broke it down against Darren Elkins.
I was like, this name seems very familiar.
And he was swinging for the fences. He just didn't get the win. So he goes back home to Brazil. Right now, Mike De La Torre has an opponent in Brazil, Fabricio Moicano. And then Moicano pulls out, and they're like, well, we need somebody who's local in Brazil. And Pepe's like, I want it. But he matches up fantastic against De La Torre. De La Torre's a purple belt. So if the fight hits the ground, Pepe should be able to submit him. De La Torre doesn't have a great chin. So if it stays standing, Pepe should be able to hit him. And De La Torre's gas tank's not great. And Pepe showed even against Darren Elkins when he's getting swamped on that he's still not super tired. I think he matches up fantastic here. 10,500, it's a little bit expensive, but I'm really feeling that finish.
And it seems like after you talked about some of the other guys at the top, that it seems like Pepe might fall through the cracks a little bit because people want to pay up to get these safe, safe finishes. If those guys go to the second round, Pepe finishes in the first, you've created a lot of leverage for yourself in your lineups against the field.
And for sure, and listen, you can't take everybody you want. So when you look at it, it's like, oh, well, I want Cyborg the most. But if you take Cyborg the most, then you have to take someone completely god-awful on the back end.
Are going to take Cyborg? Like, your team seems like it sucks if you take her.
Yeah, but someone's going to screw up. They're going to take Cyborg. And look at the list, right? They're going to take Cyborg.
So you take
and as
Cyborg,
a result, they're going to take Eric Spicely, and then he's going to get knocked
Eric
out in the first
Spicely.
Round. Yeah. Once he gets put down, it's like, oh, my team wasn't that good after all. It's going to be really hard to afford. That being said, people will probably try to afford her if they can. I expect the experienced players to not, but it's like we always talking about, and shout out to Homer Cleese. You want the person that finishes, right? This girl has finished every single fighter she's fought in the last 7 years, Pat.
But the way that you do have to look at it is if you have the ability to have two quick finishes on your team instead of just one, take the two quick finishes.
That's why I'm going Santos and Gotofredo Pepe. I'm thinking they both finish in the first round. If Pepe doesn't finish in the first round, I think he finishes in the second round. And I think Santos easily cruises here. He opened at minus 400. I said on Bookie Beatdown, I was like, you know, remortgage your house and put it on this guy because minus 400 is crazy. He's currently minus 650, so
it's
people got the memo. People got the memo on him. He's
Paul Felder, $9,700.
Yeah, okay, this one's super dangerous, right? Paul Felder is a GPP, got to go for it. He's taking on a stud in Francisco Trinaldo. Trinaldo from Brazil. So this is not great for Felder. Also, Felder didn't really want to go to Brazil initially. He was like,
No Zika for me.
Yeah, and I want to go fight in somebody's backyard. I'd probably want to hang back in America. And, you know, he's trying to rebuild himself up here, coming off a pair of wins after some disappointing losses. However, I think this is an excellent spot for him. The more I think about it, and the more I do think about it, Paul Felder doesn't let up ever. 15 minutes, he's going for the 15 minutes. He's got a cast iron chin, and his ground game's not great, but it's obviously ever improving. He trains a lot with Donald Cerrone. Donald Cerrone wasn't a guy known for his wrestling, and then look at him his last couple of fights. They're ever improving. Trinaldo's 38 years old, Pat, so he is slowing down, whether people want to believe it or not, because he's on a six-fight winning streak, he is starting to slow down. His last fight, he had it in Brazil, and he's winning the first round at fancy Yancy Medeiros.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, he's beating Yancy Medeiros in the round one. Round two, he starts to get tired, and Yancy Medeiros drops him, and he gets saved by the bell. The bell rings, and then he got saved out of that second round. Third round, he comes out, he lands a couple shots, he's able to beat Yancy Medeiros, he gets that decision victory. Great for him. Now he's getting Felder. Felder's a lot more technical than Yancy Medeiros. He has a far better chin than Yancy Medeiros. I would go as far as to say he's got better cardio than Yancy
Medeiros. Can Felder knock him out?
Felder has only had one knockout in his UFC run, although I am feeling it. That's why I like it, because he's 9,700 and Trinaldo's 9,700. And I think most people are going to go Trinaldo, because Trinaldo can finish. He can finish standing. He can finish on the ground. He's ranked higher than Felder. He's got a better win percentage than Felder. He just seems all around like the better pick than Felder. The more I sit here and I think about it, the more I think, you know what? I think Felder's priming for an upset. And if he is going to get the upset, I think he's able to get the knockout. And I don't think he's going to be overly played, because people are going to see he's not a knockout guy, and they're going to see that he's the underdog in Brazil. Why wouldn't you take the favorite, right? Because they're both $9,700. Why wouldn't you take the favorite? So most people will take the favorite. But I'm thinking Felder, the Irish Dragon's going to have a shot here.
Last guy,
Ronnie Yahya. Okay.
Yeah.
Ronnie Yahya won the 2003 ADCC World Championship in Abu Dhabi, right? Now, people will always be like, 2003, it was 13 years ago. But that's like me telling you, yeah, this guy won a gold medal in Athens in 2004. People will be like, whoa, he's an Olympic gold medalist. This guy's the equivalent to a jiu-jitsu Olympic gold medalist. He's the best. Problem is, he's so lazy, man. He's so lazy. So his striking's awful, and his wrestling's pretty bad. But once the fight does hit the ground, it's his wheelhouse. But he's hit and miss. Sometimes he's good, sometimes he's not. Now he's getting a little older. So he fights this stud last time out, Matthew Lopez, right? Kid's getting brought in. They're in Sioux Falls. He's getting brought in essentially to lose here, right? Lopez goes in, and then Yahya makes this comment before the fight, like, you know what? I know I'm getting a little older, and I know I can beat all these guys, so I'm going to take it seriously. And he killed Matthew Lopez. He killed him. Now I'm looking at Tanaka. Tanaka's a young guy, favored himself as a grappler. Last fight against Joe Soto, he took Joe Soto down and controlled him in the first round. He took Joe Soto down in the second round and controlled him. In the third round, he's completely gassed out, and he got beaten on by Joe Soto. In fact, he got beaten on fairly handily by Joe Soto. But he's able to squeak out, I believe, a split decision or a unanimous, but he was able to win the first and second against giving up the third. But he was able to take him down. And when you look at his performance in the UFC pad, he likes to take guys down. That is not an option that's afforded to you when you're taking on Ronnie Yahya. And if you're going to start to get tired, Ronnie Yahya is probably going to get tired too. But that last fight, after he said, I revamped myself, he didn't get tired. And Ronnie Yahya, not fatigued, holding onto your ankle like a bum, is a dangerous guy. And I'm looking at that price for $9,300, and I think to myself, Ronnie Yahya has got a good chance of just going out and getting the win.
So what you're saying is, for Yahya...
The
optimal situation here is Tanaka takes him down, first round submission.
Your Tanaka takes him down.
And just...
Yeah, Tanaka takes him down, and then Ronnie Yahya will be on his back, and he'll be like, I'll frame up a Kimura, I'll get a butterfly hooking, whoop, sweep, now I've got you mounted, now I'm going to hit you just a little bit, oh, you gave me your back, there goes your neck. Like...
That's in play here.
That is very much in play. So my initial thoughts are, I think this fight is going to go the distance. But then when I'm looking at a GPP, and I got Thiago Santos, and I got Pepe, and I need cheaper players on my team, $9,300 is very affordable. And then I think, okay, well, can he get the finish? Well, his last fight against Matthew Lopez, he dominated round one. He dominated round two. He was dominating round three so bad, the guy gave up the submission. And he's able to get that third round finish.
And we saw, I forget who it was, who was one of the top end guys last week who won and just threw all of the significant strikes. Laprise? Was he on the last one?
No, it was a couple ago, and he got a quick knockout.
There was someone who won last time. I believe they won by decision, but they threw so many significant strikes. I think they got a third round win, but they scored like 120 points anyway.
Right.
I forget who it was.
Yeah, 107 points is what they ended up scoring.
So what you're saying is that if this fight gets on the ground, not only could he potentially get a submission, he could get just a few pile of strikes.
And we talked about it last week too, like hitting guys standing. If you're like, if you land a beautiful. Left hook, straight right. And it rocks the guy. You know what that scores you on DraftKings?
The same as that.
One single point, right? That is what that just scored you. You take a guy down, you move to side control, to half guard, you threaten with the mount,
throw
you take
punches.
His back, throw a couple punches. That is points galore. Ronnie Yahya definitely has that ability. So I like him. One guy on the card, Gregor Gillespie. I think he's like a wild card. I do not think this guy finishes by no stretch of the imagination, but he's very cheap as well, and you might be able to fit him onto a cash game team.
Cool. Cody Saftick, check out the Bookie Beatdown on the Fight Network and Cody on Twitter at CJ Saftick. Follow the Bookie Beatdown at Bookie_Beatdown. We went a bit over the 10 minutes. That's mainly my fault for the middle part. Either way, I'm Pat Mayo. You can follow me at ThePME on Twitter. Check out all my football content up right now on Fantasy Sports Network. That's FNTSY Sports Network. You can check it out on YouTube. I'm Pat Mayo. I'll see you next time.